bring greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Good to be gathered together in the house of God. And I too agree with Brother Jim. It's a blessing we have to be in a warm building. As the rain is falling outside, that too is a blessing. As I pondered a message for this morning, I was reminded of the time of year that we are living in, that we have coming this week is what we typically call Thanksgiving week. On Thursday, we have Thanksgiving Day. And throughout this week, I've been thinking about that and my journeys to work this week. There was a song that kept ringing in my mind as I'm traveling up Route 12 and 222 past the Berkshire Mall. Right now, the sun is just coming up to my left. And every morning as I'm traveling through there, I see different sunrises coming. And I'm always interested in what's the sunrise going to look like today. And sometimes I wait till I'm over close to Farmersville, or and I'll pull off and I'll snap a picture. Different songs go through my mind at times like that, but this past week, there was a song going through my mind. I'll share it with you. That song was this. Christ our rock, eternal refuge, while the endless ages roll, for the Lamb of God has overcome our foes and now has control. Oh, my soul is safely anchored, rock of ages, keep my soul. Be merciful, be merciful, be merciful, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, O Lord, I trust in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. My heart is fixed on thee, is fixed on thee, O God, for thou art my strong deliverer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. That song just came to my mind and pondered that song. I enjoy that song. And as I thought about Thanksgiving, and I thought about this week, and I pondered the thoughts of Thanksgiving, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Christ our rock, eternal refuge, while the endless ages roll. Turn with me to Psalm 107. I'd like to read this psalm. The title of the sermon today is, O Give Thanks Unto the Lord. O Give Thanks Unto the Lord. Psalm 107 Heading on top of Psalm 107, my Bible says, Book 5, the Deuteronomy book. Concerning God and His Word. Lord willing, at the end of this sermon, I want to open it up to y'all for to do just what it says in verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'd like to open it up to you. I want to hear from you your heart's gratitude for what God has done in your life, for what the blessings you have, something you're thankful for. I'd like to hear from you at the end of this service, Lord willing, in a few moments. I'd like to read Psalm 107. I'm going to read this entire psalm. It's 43 verses. And I want you to pick out with me, there are a number of times. It's in verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, at verse 31, where this phrase is said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." As I studied this psalm, I was challenged anew in my heart. You see, I'm going to say it this way, the nucleus of joy, or the center core of joy, I believe, is a number of things, but one of those things is a thankful heart. Comes at the center of joy in life. As I thought about that, and I pondered about, if I am thankful, am I really thankful in my heart? If I am truly thankful, then I am also going to be joyful. It's going to affect how I live. I'd like for you to notice in Psalm here, notice the sovereignty of God, and notice man's plight, or man's insufficiency, man's weakness, and God's deliverance and God's power. I'm going to read Psalm 107. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." I believe he's talking about Israel, some of these verses. "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. Notice he's doing the opposite here. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are diminished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I do not claim to understand everything that is said in this psalm. The title of the sermon, as I gave, was, Oh, Give Thanks Unto the Lord. I would like to just share with you a few thoughts that I gleaned from this psalm as I studied it. Thanksgiving, if we're not careful, we almost get this time of year. This week, we're going to observe Thanksgiving Day, the national holiday. And isn't it almost sort of like a room that you take your mind into? Where now this is the week of Thanksgiving. So we really put special emphasis on Thanksgiving, and it's almost like we think about it this week, and Thanksgiving is past, and we go on with life. Maybe I'm just revealing my own feelings or heart on it. There's the commercialization of Thanksgiving, the national holiday of Thanksgiving. But I believe for the Christian, it goes much deeper than that. It's not really a room that we take our mind into. But Thanksgiving for the Christian is more like a world in which we must live. You see, one of the earmarks of those that are unholy and unrighteous is unthankfulness. Not being thankful. It's an earmark of someone who is... It's an earmark of the unrighteous. If I am unthankful, how is that going to flesh out in my experience if I am unthankful? Think about that. Am I a habitual complainer? Am I a habitual murmurer? As we read this psalm, we notice that there are ups and downs in life. But in verse 43 says, Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Our God is a God of mercy. Our God is a God a giving God. He is good. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. What is Thanksgiving? What is Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving, I came across this phrase in my travels this week on a sign somewhere. I noticed this little saying, Thanksgiving is an action word. And I believe that is right. Thanksgiving is an action word. Thanksgiving is the expression of gratitude, especially to God and to others, but it's an expression of gratitude. It's action. What are the actions of thanksgiving? Well, Psalm 95, 1-3 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Thanksgiving is an action word. If you were to give me a gift, and I would just take the gift and go on talking about the nice rain we're having, and I wouldn't mention anything about the gift, you would have reason to believe or to wonder if I was really appreciative of the gift that you gave, right? But you see, when you give me a gift, and I look at the gift and I say, thank you for the gift, I verbalized and I said something, right? Which communicates to you that I am thankful. You see, thankfulness, another definition of thankfulness is confession. And the Hebrew definition has the idea of raising the hands. Raising the hands in gratitude to God, thankfulness. Now, I want to ask you this question. What really do you have? You think about all that you own. Your land, your property. Think of everything you have that makes up who you are. Well, how did you get that? See, we were given everything we have, right? We came into the world with nothing. We came into the world as a baby. Everything we are, everything we have, has been given to us. We do not all have the same walks. We do not all have the same journey from childhood to where we are today. Our walks and our journeys are different. But we all came into the world the same, and we're going to leave the same with nothing. What I'm saying is that thanksgiving, I believe, one of the ways of thanksgiving is a confession that really, in myself, I am nothing. Thank you, God, for all that I have. You see, do we sometimes get a little bit confused? And we think if we had a little more, it would just be a little better. If we had something different, it would just be a little bit better. But I ask you this question, is it possible to have joy in my current state? Is it possible to experience fulfillment in life and joyful living in the journey that I have today? Joy, thankfulness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. I would like to notice, well, thanksgiving is the expression of a heart that recognizes its weakness, is the point I'm trying to make. The heart that recognizes its weakness, recognizes that what I have is not my own. I'm a steward of these things. All I have has been given to me by God. Notice verse 4 to 6, verse 11 to 13, verses 17 to 19, verses 22 to 28. Notice the difference in these verses. The individuals who had strayed away, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. We have that four different times in this psalm. Then they cried. Then they cried unto the Lord, and he delivered them. It is imperative for us as Christian people to understand that the abundance of blessings that we have has been given to us. Yes, we are stewards of them. We believe in proper values and valuing money and making wise choices, and believe the Lord blesses those choices. But these things are all God's. We think of Job, when his blessings, the things that he had, were taken from him. Yet the Bible says he did not curse God. He did not sin. Job remained faithful. So we see that man, 1 Timothy 6 will tell us that we came into the world with nothing, and is certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Having food and raiment, let us be with content. I want you to notice now the next part of the message. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. I'd like to notice just there's so much that we could talk about. We can just barely even scratch the surface today of the goodness of God. But some of the things that blessed my heart as I studied this psalm, and that was number one, our God is a God of mercy. Our God is a God of mercy. Verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Where would I be today if it wasn't for the mercy of God? Where would you be today if it wasn't for the mercy of God upon your life? Were it not for the mercy of God? I'm going to turn to 1 Chronicles 16. I want to read a few verses here of David's thanksgiving. Turn there with me if you care to. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 34 to 36. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. The Lord's mercy endures forever. The God of our salvation. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The God of mercy. It endures forever. It doesn't run out. God's mercy doesn't run out. But it extends from generation to generation to generation, the mercy of God. Yes, God's mercy operates within the bounds of his holiness and his justice. But where would I be today if it wasn't for the mercy of God? If it wasn't for God touching my life, where would I be? I believe that it's the mercy of God who allowed me the privilege to have a godly mother and father, to see my mother with her Bible, and to hear her pray, and to... It was God's mercy upon me. It is God's mercy upon individuals who come to God in no matter what your state of home life is. God's hand of mercy extends to everyone. I heard of an individual recently who is a grown adult today, but has some limitations and some handicaps. It is said that his mother left him, abandoned him, left him in his crib for about 7 months, wouldn't pick him up and interact with him. Today he has handicaps believed to be as a result of that experience. But even he too has experienced the mercy of God. Someone took him and cared for him. And you know, sometimes I think we get our balance just a little off sometimes. Because sometimes I think that we feel like the more we have, or the better our life is, the better off we are, or something. I don't know if I'm making any sense. We need to be careful that we do not consider ourselves to be more than others, or to be better than others, to be more blessed than others. Because some of the, I believe, sometimes the closest experiencings of the mercies of God come through deep waters. Deep waters, however they may be. And this morning, if your lot has been a journey of tears and hardship, and it may appear that you have been suffering, that you haven't experienced what other people have, these things are material. These things are important, yes. The most important thing is how we grow and live out of that. A thankful heart for what I have today. I observed some children recently who are growing up in a country where they do not have a lot of toys. But yet they have a lot of toys. They have sticks and stones, and they have things of natural things to play with, and their mind can imagine and play with those stones and sticks and have a great time. But when they come to America, where there's all manner of toys, it's almost like information overload. God's mercy. I'm getting off the track here. But are you thankful? Am I thankful for what I have today? God's mercy. It is not of ours. It is what he has given to us. like to read this psalm, and you know this psalm probably, and maybe there's some who haven't. Maybe for the sake of the younger ones here. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidding for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone," said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand what changed its worth." Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never quite understands the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. I really enjoy that poem written by Myra Welch. Let's not become proud and conceited. Were it not for the mercy of God. And that mercy extends to everyone. All right, moving on. Our God is a God of redemption. Yes, God offers mercy, but he is a God of redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In verse 2, man without God is a solitary position, in a position of desolation, of emptiness and unfulfillment. Verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord heard them. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A God of redemption. And we notice that through this psalm, where there's failings, but then there's turning to God and there's redemption. Our God loves to redeem. And who should be coming forward with praise and thanksgiving more? Who should be coming forward more than those whose lives have been changed by the touch of his hand? At first, I had the title of this sermon, Thanksgiving, the Heartbeat of Joy. That's just really my burden of this sermon. The heartbeat of joy, a thankful heart. God, a God of redemption. Number 3, God leads his people to restful habitations. Remember, God is good. We're talking about the Lord's goodness. He leads his people to restful habitations. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Can't lay my eyes on the verse now that talks about the habitations, but he leads us. Verse 7, that they might go to a city of habitation. Psalm 91 talks about the quiet place of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Restful habitations. That is God's desire, and that is God's heartbeat for the Christian. Verse 7 of Psalm 107, he led them forth by the right way. Verse 14, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Verse 16, he hath broken the gates of brass. Verse 30, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Verse 36, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell. Thankfulness in the heartbeat is the heartbeat of a joyful life. You take away thankfulness, a confession to God that I am nothing, God, I need you. And thank you, God, for everything I have. You take that away, and you have a lonely person, a miserable person, a person who has a struggle seeing any good in life. What is man's response? I'd like to look at this. What is man's response? Verse 42. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. We're talking about God's goodness. We're talking about our smallness and insignificance and all that we have has been given to us. We're talking about the need of a heart of thankfulness. The righteous shall see it. First of all, I notice that man's response, we need to have our eyes open. We need to be observant. The righteous observe God's goodness. Secondly, they will rejoice. And thirdly, they shall understand. The Bible says we're to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Can I truly rejoice in the goodness of God on someone else's life? Can I truly rejoice with them? Do I offer the sacrifice of praise? Am I singing? It's a challenge to me to be singing, to be joyful. Or do the cares of life bog me down that I am just really hardly able to cope with life? Am I a singing person? To understand God's goodness is to understand my need. When I understand my need, and I understand that in Dave there is no good thing, that I need God, then I can begin to understand God's goodness. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. As I studied this sermon, I've been challenged. And I see in my life a need for a deeper relationship and fuller thanksgiving, I believe I would say it that way, for what God has done in my life, the blessings that I have. You know those things, those situations in my life that I wish were different. And I find hard to accept. And I could be tempted to pity myself and just curl up in bed like Ahab. Can I come to a place where I can accept those things and in everything give thanks. To have a thankful heart amidst those things. I want to do better in that. Well, I'd like to hear from you a few minutes.